Praise the Lord. Beautiful. Thank you for that very appropriate meditation. My 39th sermon was preached from this pulpit on March 7th, 2020. That was the last time I was here. We started our Zoom church on March 21st. We've had 63 Sabbaths on Zoom. That's a long time. And I'm very emotional coming back to this place on this Sabbath. The last sermon that I preached here was about confession. The confession we make will determine how we live our lives in this end time world. Once we answer the question, we will have peace and contentment and settling into the truth. Nothing more is more important than being settled in the truth, that you don't have all kinds of questions and you're headbutting and tearing down the standards and the truths of God's word. So there should be a settling into the truth as we mature because we have faith in Jesus. I'm convinced that this is our question for this time, especially for us at Pisgah. Do we know what we believe? Are we settled in the truth, or are we still searching? And we've been through over a year of very unsettled times. We live in a time of pluralism and inclusiveness that's infiltrated our homes, our church, our community, our nation, and our world. Everyone does what's right in his own eyes. And things that you thought were settled are now unsettled. And so it's important that we are called to publicly confess, affirm, profess, proclaim the exclusivity of the gospel and the uniqueness of our message as Seventh-day Adventists. We need not apologize because our standard is the Word of God. Amen. And so I was happy to be in Sabbath school on the phone this morning and to hear the word of God given for every question that we may have. And I thank God for this, the members of Pisgah who are settled in the truth. They're not worried about what's going on around them because their focus is on Jesus. So stay focused, brethren. Stay focused. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the word. As your word is lifted up this morning, may the Spirit of God do his work in my life and in each hearer's life. May we allow the Holy Spirit to teach us and to lead us in the way everlasting. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And so here's my 68th sermon. 39, now 68, almost 69 sermons. And I've entitled it, Rest or Reset for a Comeback. Reset for a Comeback. The recently concluded Worldwide General Conference virtual camp meeting, the theme was, I will go. The question, go where? And so before we go anywhere, whether it's next door or to Nigeria, we personally must first internalize the good news of salvation and the plan of God for each of us, eternal life through Jesus Christ. That is the covenant that he has made with us. We've got to live it before we can share it. And we've got to start with those in our household, family first, amen. That's all Noah could do. He was a great evangelist, but all he could save was his family. So begin with your children and those in your household. Then you may go to your neighbors, then your friends and your co-workers. Don't go as a missionary down the street or overseas before you are personally converted, along with your household, because your home represents who you are. Your children represents you. And so before you go anywhere, there are some personal housekeeping that we must take care of. God has promised to give us individually the Holy Spirit in order to transform our lives. Only the Holy Spirit can fix us. Some of the things that we have broken in our lives, we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and in sin did our mothers conceive us. And some of those inborn traits and tendencies has to be worked out with the aid of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And this is what Jesus had to do for the disciples after he had spent a whole 3.5 years with them. Even he could not fix them. And so this is what he had to do. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 13, it says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" You see how we are? We're carnal. We're thinking about the material things and having peace and joy and all the prosperity that comes with living a lavish lifestyle. And so the disciples were not much different than we are. They wanted to know whether the kingdom would be restored. They were thinking earthly and not heavenly. And so we've got to take our eyes off of this earth and what's going on around us and keep our focus on the plan. Verse 6 says, "When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Verse 8, But ye shall receive dunamis, power, after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the utmost parts of the earth." You see, they have to start at home. You've got to start in that small circle, the family circle. Then you may go to your neighbor, then to the community, and then to the nation, and then to the rest of the world. That is the progression, brothers and sisters. Verse 9 says, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Verse 12, "Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went into an upper room, all of the disciples." Verse 14 says that they continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So they had to start with a prayer meeting. Don't neglect prayer meeting. We had an awesome prayer meeting this past week. Wednesday, we were able to pray together as if we were at church. I remember we used to gather up here on my right at the front, and it wasn't very full. Just a few people gathering on Wednesdays for prayer. But this past week, we were able to enter into a virtual prayer room. We were able to share with each other, pray one for another. That was a wonderful thing. And that's where it begins, brothers and sisters. in order for us to have a reset, in order to have a comeback, we've got to start on our knees. And so through God's power, we are to make room for the Holy Spirit by repentance. There are sins we habitually practice. We've got to turn from them towards a closer relationship with God. We must ask God to reveal Jesus to us in a deeper way. This will give us the inspiration and the courage to see our own sin in a more significant way. You see, it's easy to see Elder Johnson's sin. It's easy to see Elder Harvey's sin, Brother Carlos's sin. It's easy to see them because we're looking out all the time. We're not looking in. And so we ought to be able to seek God's forgiveness and victory. And I'm so glad for that illustration that Brother Dorsey shared about the police officer who killed, this morning he shared it at Sabbath school. She had done a double shift, came home, and she got off the elevator on the wrong floor and went to a room that was, the door was ajar a little bit. She went in and this man was in his underwear eating ice cream and she shot him dead. And the remarkable thing about that, when she went to court, she was convicted of murder. You got to think, you can't blame it on the fact that you work late and long. We got to be awoke. That's the new word is woke, right? They don't say awake. The new word is woke. We got to be conscious all the time. It didn't excuse her. She got the sentence. But the remarkable thing was the brother of the man that was killed forgave her in open court and asked the judge to go and hug her, releasing himself of that stress and all that stress that has accumulated through the trial. I imagine what it feels like. I'm still feeling the stress of my brother's murder. Have not been able to end it. Still carry that. Every time I see the picture on my mantelpiece, I remember it. And so, brothers and sisters, forgiveness is the victory that we must get over our besetting sin, asking God to forgive us. But we first must confess. Now, thank you, Elder Jonathan, for reading the scripture reading this morning. The part of the scripture reading that is so powerful, Psalm 139, 23, and 24, says, "Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." We don't search ourselves enough. We don't agonize over our sins enough. We tend to project our problems onto others, whether it's our parents, how they raised us, or the church, or society. And so everybody's blaming somebody else for their problem instead of owning it. And so David's prayer is the prayer that we each need to pray. Every evil, sinful, immoral, morally wrong, bad, iniquitous, corrupt, ungodly, unholy, irreligious, unrighteous, sacrilegious, profane, blasphemous, impious, base, mean, evil, irreverent, villainous, nefarious, erring, fallen, impure, sullied, tainted, foul, monstrous, shocking, outrageous, atrocious, abominable, reprehensible, hateful, distasteful, despicable, odious, contemptible, horrible, heinous, godless, diabolical, fiendish, vicious, murderous, barbarous, dark, rotten, criminal, illicit, unlawful, illegal, illegitimate, lawless, felonious, perverted, reprobate, sordid, depraved, degenerate, dishonorable, dishonest, unscrupulous, unprincipled, underhanded, roguish, crooked, warped, low-down, stinking, dirty, shady behavior. We're all capable of it, and we are guilty. And so the prayer should be, lead me out of that dirty life, Lord, into the way of righteousness and everlasting life. The servant of the Lord wrote this, and we know it by heart. In order for us to have a reset, for a comeback from these kinds of despicable behavior of whom we're all guilty of them. She says a revival of true godliness among us is the greatest and most urgent of all our needs. To seek this should be our first work. There must be earnest effort to obtain the blessings of the Lord, not because God is not willing to bestow his blessing upon us, but because we are unprepared to receive it. We're not ready. We are holding tight to our little selfish ways and behaviors, and we blame somebody else for why we act the way we act. When we own it, then we begin to find healing. She goes on to say, our Heavenly Father is more willing to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him than our earthly parents to give good gifts to their children. But it is our work by confession. Number one, we got to confess those bad behaviors. Humiliation, humbling ourselves. I did it. I'm that person. Don't blame your parents for how you are. Repent and earnest prayer. Those are the three conditions she lays out in this very, very famous quote. She says to fulfill the conditions upon which God has promised to grant us his blessings, a revival need be expected only in answer to prayer. And then when you come to prayer meeting, you have five people. How are we going to change? You don't want to pray. You'd rather watch screen than come and pray and talk and ask for more blessings. God wants to give us blessings, but he can't keep piling stuff on us. He'll spoil us. Selected Messages, Volume 1, page 121. And so, brothers and sisters, the first step on the journey before you can say, I will go, is the gift of repentance. You see, the Holy Spirit is the answer to every problem we face. Unfortunately, we are ignoring him and going down a path that leads to more suffering. And we get stuck in our sins and not experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Jesus came to call us back to a relationship with God and a life of purity, love for others, and joy. He said, repent. Repentance means to turn around and away from the sin that is degrading towards God. That's what he's asking us to do. In Luke chapter 15, you know the story very well. The prodigal son blamed his father, and he took all that the father's inheritance. He's not supposed to get it until the dad died. But some kids want their stuff now. They don't want to wait till you die. They want it now. And so the prodigal son, you know the story. The father didn't run, go look for him. He waited at home. So the story tells me something, the main lesson. I don't want to repeat the story. You know it well. But the main lesson in this story is about the son and about the father. And it tells me something about God as well. God will receive us when we return to him, no matter how long and how far we've gone. Isn't that encouraging? No matter how long you've been gone, or how far you've wandered, and how you wasted your life, he's willing to bring you back. And I'm so grateful. I thank God that he's a merciful father. Because we know we don't deserve it. We can't claim anything in this matter. And so the lesson we learn from the son's actions and words is about true repentance. That's what it's about, brothers and sisters. Because the scripture says in Luke 15, verse 17, and when he came to himself, he woke. How many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise, verse 18, and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Stop blaming your dad, your mom, and all your generations for the mess you're in. Stop blaming slavery for the mess we're in. We keep choosing it over and over again. I have sinned. and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. That's where we got to come to, saints. That's where we've got to get to. And so what does God say when we should do about our sins? He says in John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. What about all those people who are not in slavery? Why are they still shooting people up and carrying on? I'm blaming our ancestors for what we're doing now. The killing is at an epidemic proportion. It's unbelievable. Out of wedlock births is off the chain. Single family household raising children without the benefit of the father and the mother is a disaster. And so we, the church, must teach what we know. Stop excusing bad behavior and coddling people in sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the reset that we've got to have before we can come back. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that he sin not. Yes, he says we shouldn't sin, but he says, if, knowing that we will, if any man sin, any woman sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. When we come to ourselves, when we are awoke, conscious of our condition, stop taking drugs and doing all kinds of drinking liquor and think that's going to fix the problem. It's not going to fix it. It'll get you dead. Just sent a book. What was the book, Elder Johnson, that I got to the ABC and I picked it out? And there was and I bought other books. The Mark Bible, thank you. I bought other books, Great Controversy. I bought the Steps to Christ, the Mark Bible, Desire of Ages. I was going to send it to my young cousin. He's 33. And I decided not to send him all those books, too much. I just mailed the Mark Bible for his birthday and a little card in it told him I loved him. And I pray that God, through the Spirit of God, will work on this young man at age 33. He's got 30 years to think about the choices he made. And my heart bleeds for so many young black men who do this. Jails are filled and warehousing them because of the choices they make. What did David ask for in his prayer of repentance, Psalms 51? You see, he was caught red-handed. He should have been at war with his soldiers, but he decided to stay home. And he was lusting after the woman who was bathing on the roof of the house. She should have been covered up in her bathroom, but she decided, you know, the devil will put stuff in our way, brothers. Don't look. Yeah, you can't help but seeing it. The summer is coming. We don't walk around. We have masks on our faces, on our mouths, but not on our eyes. And so, ladies, help the brothers. Help the brothers. Don't be showing all your stuff. And that's what poor David was. He's in a bad place. Should not have been home. And he lusted after and took advantage of Bathsheba. And when he got caught, because it takes the man of God who don't worry about how you feel to tell you the truth about yourself. And after he was told about himself, he said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. He realized he had sinned and he admitted it. Admit your mess that you're in before you can get out of it. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Create in me, yes, O God, a clean heart, a right spirit within me. That's what God is trying to do, a reset in all of us. And so God has given us over a year not to be in this place, in the sanctuary, so that we can get it right. So when we come back in here, all of the mess that we've been carrying, we should have let it go because we saw how quick we could be here and gone. And so the sacrifice of God, our broken spirit, A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And so that's what true repentance looks like. 2 Corinthians 7, 9 through 10. Now I rejoice now that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. Not sorry that you got caught and you got 30 years, but you are going to change. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive a damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh what? Repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. If you're sorry you got caught, then you keep doing it over and over until you're dead. They shoot you or they put you away. Sorrow after a godly sort, carefulness, clearing of ourselves, indignation, fear, vehement desire, zeal, revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. So repentance means to be so truly sorry for our sins that we turn from them to a new life. Something we don't have. Sometimes we don't have the feeling. How can we have such a deep repentance? Acts 5:31 says, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. So Jesus, when we come to him, he will give us that power to truly seek repentance. And so this prayer will help you and I to seek God for a deeper repentance and confession of our sins. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So confession and repentance needs to be specific. Amen? Don't say, forgive me of all my sins. That's not prayer. Name it. Amen? And stop asking for more blessings on top of blessings until you've cleared the way through repentance, through confession and repentance, because it's just wasting time. We had a wonderful time on Wednesday praying the prayer of praise first. Stop the shopping list. Praise God. Amen. Confess. Then supplication. And the most important thing we ought to pray for is the Holy Spirit, because he's the one who will bring, after we clear the way, all the things that we lack and we think we need. He says he's going to have a cart full of it behind you. All the blessings will come in his train. Amen. Praise God. And so God will help us to admit our need for his help and to turn from these sins to a better way. And so repentance, when we repent, we speak to God about anything the Holy Spirit brings to our mind, which we need to confess and repent of. We need to stop doing it. Amen. One of the big things I've learned over the past year is appetite. I've learned to not eat out of turn. Amen. Once you control the appetite, you have control of yourself. And God gave me that victory. Praise God. I'm thankful. So I don't snack here and snack there. The thing that I do between meals is drink pure, clear water. I saw the poor lady next door, and she certainly got a lot of weight on. I couldn't recognize her. She was barely moving. The knee was having all kind of problem with the knees, because she's almost doubled in size since COVID came on. So here's, look at Jesus and see the one who is perfectly pure in thought, words, and action. His deep love for us, dying on the cross for our sins, know the ugliness of our sins more clearly. And so our sins hurt Jesus, other people, and us. Choose to repent, turning away from sin. Please forgive me. Cleanse me, my mind, and make it pure. Come inside of my heart. Help me to turn from my sins and ask for your help. Give me the opposite quality. I praise you in the name of Jesus who died on the cross because of my sins. That's all. You don't have to be a flowery prayer. Amen. So we got to confess. Secondarily, in order for us to have a reset, to have a comeback, confess, then we have to have total devotion. Mark 10, verse 17. And it says, when they were gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeling to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. It looked like Jesus didn't know the commandments so well, so he kind of messed it up there. When I looked at Exodus chapter 20, and I compared with what how Jesus put it, the order he put it in, I said to myself, I wonder why he did that. But here comes the servant who wanted help. He says in verse 20, he says, master, all these have I observed from my youth. It's good that you do the right thing to start with. There's nothing worse than an old fool. Verse 21, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved because he had great possessions. Now, when I compare what Jesus said to what it says in the Ten Commandments, because I preached a sermon recently on the Fifth Commandment. The Fifth Commandment says in Exodus 20, verses 12 through 17, honor thy father and thy mother. And then the Sixth Commandment says, thou shalt not kill or murder. And then the Seventh Commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie. And the Tenth Commandment, don't covet. Why do you think Jesus asked the rich young ruler to give up everything to follow him? Yeah, he boasted that he was keeping all of this, but he had a problem. He still had a problem. You see, he was rich in earthly possession, but he was poor in eternal treasures. Yeah, we may keep all the commandments in order, but you can't get to heaven by just keeping the commandments. You need Jesus. So what are some of the things Jesus refused to do because of his love and his devotion to God? Matthew 4, 1 through 11 tells us, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he learned how to deal with hunger, right? That's where we got to get the victory, saints, over appetite. The tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. When you're hungry, you're hungry. You'll eat a rock. But Jesus' response was, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If thou be the Son of God, he said, cast thyself down. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus' response, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. He says, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Hence, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So God has told us not to have any other gods or idols. What are some of the gods and idols that people have? Well, in addition to graven image, it says, thou shalt not bow down to them nor serve them. And so what are some of the things that can keep us from following Jesus? Yeah, there are a lot of things. I was at a Chinese restaurant during the pandemic. They had takeout, and right in the corner, I might have told you this before, they had a little potbelly god, and there's fruit there and everything. And I asked the lady what it was, and she said, that's their god. You know, they pray to it, and this was their good luck charm. And you saw what happened to the poor people of India. After so many of them died from COVID, what were they doing? They were their little gods. They were using a front back pole, and they were pushing it in the river because it wasn't any good to them. So that's what the issue is. We have other things. It says, if any man come to me and hate not his father, that's a terrible text, isn't it? If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother, wife and children and brethren and sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. When you read that text on face value, it looks very bad because it says you ought to honor your mother and your father. Is that a contradiction? But you got to go a little deeper. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. And so the warnings and the promises that God gives to us is found in his word. 1 Corinthians 10, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you by but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to us of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Yes, God is going to see us through it. So we got to stop. We got to stop the idolatry, putting other things before God in our lives. We've got to repent. Since God is the only true God who deserves my worship, my love, and my devotion, I confess the times that I put other things before him. Forgive me for coveting what others have. Somebody drive a nice car, you want one like it, and you put yourself in debt. You see a nice house, and you want to get a mortgage, and you can't even afford it. And they repossess it after a while. They said the housing market is going crazy now. People are buying houses left, right, and center. And you know, when the time comes, you can't afford it. After the pandemic is over, you can't manage, then you're going to be evicted. So, loving God first, not your material possession. Love others next. Myself, we are entrusted with family to care for them. Our children, we are to care for them. But we should not put them before God. Amen? Confess and turn away from those things. Be specific. In order to have the reset, we've got to be specific. At times, I've prioritized the following things as more important than my relationship with God. Number one, my family. We put our children before our family, before God. Helping those that are in need. It's good to do good, but you shouldn't put them before God. There's never, somebody's always going to have a need. So you should not prioritize helping others before you help yourself in a relationship with God. Our jobs, we feel like that's what helps pay the mortgage and put food on the table. And we will compromise our standards, break the Sabbath. Now they're putting pressure on people. You got to do this in order to work here, to take the vaccine and all that. What are you going to do? Your career is more important than your relationship with God. Your position and honor, worshiping idols, any other gods or spiritual powers, money, possessions, entertainment. We spend more screen time, sports, hobbies, video games, social media. We're on it more time, spending more time on it than with the word. My education and my learning. We graduated from this university, that university. I got this degree and I'm just full of myself. And our friends, we prioritize friends before God. Worldly pleasures on God's holy Sabbath. We don't have a problem shopping on the Sabbath, going to the mall, going on vacation, making travels on the Sabbath, all those things. We don't see anything wrong with it because we now become the standard rather than God's word. Unhealthy practices that hurt my body and affect my relationship with God and people. I want to acknowledge and turn from those situations. So these are the things that we have to have the reset in order to have a comeback. Neglected to do the good that I know God has commanded me to do. Failing to become actively involved in helping to finish God's work. And so by God's power, through the Holy Spirit, I choose to love God with all my heart, with all my soul. Hallelujah. And with all my mind and with all my strength. Let us pray that prayer. I will put him first in my time, my thoughts, my affection, and my loyalty. The first thing you wake up in the morning, don't check the email or the text message. Check in with Jesus. That's the first commandment. And the second is like unto it, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Amen. Didn't say love your neighbor more than yourself. Love God first, love others second. So there's no other commandment greater than these. Now, I've talked about repentance. I've talked about a confession. And I want to end with the third point, humility over pride. Luke chapter 18, 9 through 14 describes the difference between two men, which represented two classes of church members. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this publican. We can look down as Seventh-day Adventist Christians on other Christians, and they don't have all the information that we have. So we are held to a much higher standard. There are some contradictions, as I was worshiping last night, I read where Moses and Elias and Jesus was there on the Mount of Transfiguration. Somebody reading that would say, yes, you see, Moses was dead and he was resurrected. The dead go right to heaven. So my loved ones, you know, they die of COVID and they're gone to heaven. So, you know, we have the background. We have the spirit of prophecy to help us, to guide us. So we know that when you're dead, you're dead. You don't rise till the resurrection. And so we look down on other people who don't have our information or our understanding of things, of the scripture. We've got to be patient and humble with it. Amen? Mm. He says, I'm not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithe of all that I possess. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes. He beat upon his breast. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Every last one of us, from the pulpit to the pew, from the elders to the janitor, we're sinners, not good enough to be saved. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Praise God. You see, God doesn't like pride. He doesn't like when we boast. Amen. God was pleased with the tax collector's humility. He acknowledged and recognized himself. And so in order for us to have a reset, in order to have a comeback, we've got to recognize ourselves and be humble. Proverbs 13, verse 18 says, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction. Did you hear that? Poverty and shame shall be to him who refuseth instructions. But he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. When we don't like to be corrected, we can't find honor. If we're not humble enough to receive truth and to accept correction, we're not going to go very far. So what are the results of pride? And what are the results of self-righteousness? Hell or honor? Mark 14, 27, 31, and Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. He didn't know himself. A lot of us, we don't know ourselves. And I believe that this pandemic has really revealed who we really are. We've been at home with our spouses, and they've been getting on our nerves, and we getting on their nerves. And if we don't work it out and make it right, amen, we'll never get it right. We can't excuse it. We can't run away from it. We got to deal with it. Amen. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, this day, even in this night before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. We don't know who we really are until we are put, when push come to shove. We're going to compromise because we need to keep our job. We have a certain belief about the Sabbath, but we'll work on the edges of the Sabbath because I got to keep my job. So here we are. We're all Peters. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. All the disciples felt like, hey, I ain't gonna do it, but you don't know yourself. You wait till the push come to shove. So why do you think Peter denied Jesus when he was so sure he wouldn't? How few of us recognize that we're Peters? Philippians 2, 5 through 8 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of sinful men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We don't like it when somebody don't like us. How about death? Jesus had more reason to boast than anybody else. Jesus showed humility instead. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your heart, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And so what counsel does God give here to help us overcome pride? Repentance. In view of God's greatness and Jesus' example of humility, I confess and turn from my pride, specifically in the following areas. Listen to these areas. Speaking and thinking often about what I've accomplished. We like to brag and build up our resume. Critical of others, looking down on other people. Number three, focus on outward appearance, such as my home, my car, my clothes, my possession, my educational degrees, makeup, my jewelry, my investments. I got money in the bank. Fourthly, relying on my efforts more than God. We can't do a thing, brothers and sisters. This has shown us recently that we're you know, some people don't even know how they got the COVID. You just get it. Motivated by what others think about me than what God thinks. Don't worry about what people think about you. Don't be a people pleaser. Do what's right every time. And don't worry about the outcome. Defensive or dejected when blamed, criticized, or corrected. In order to have a reset, brethren, we gotta put self aside. We can't come back with the same old Baxter. When we come back in church here, you say something, I don't like it, then I get haul off and tell you, give you a piece of my mind. No! Don't get defensive or dejected when blamed, criticized, or corrected. Difficulty admitting faults and mistakes or asking for forgiveness. We have major problems with that. Expecting others to recognize and appreciate me instead of seeking my affirmation and my honor from God and no man. Pride, instead of humbly realizing everything that I have comes from God and that I'm a sinner saved by God's grace, I choose instead to turn my eyes away from my success and my pride to focus on Jesus's humility. Praise God. Turn away from my desire and my inadequacies to glorify God for his great power. Choose to let this mind be in me, which was in Christ Jesus. Submit to God's counsel. Humble myself in the sight of the Lord, knowing that he will lift me up. And so, brothers and sisters, the reset for a comeback are these three steps before you can say, I go. You can't go anywhere. Don't go down the block to tell anybody about Jesus until you ask God for the gift of repentance. That's the first thing. Don't go anywhere until you are devoted to God single-mindedly. Amen? Because you're going to have somebody, the devil going to trip you up. And you're going to have to run back home. And humility over pride. Those are the three things. Gift of repentance. Amen? Total devotion to God. Humility over pride. I ask God through the power of the Holy Spirit to help me. Would you raise your hand where you are and say, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, with the gift of repentance, total devotion to you, humility, and kill the pride in me by his grace. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is going to help us to have this reset in our lives in order to have a major comeback under the unction of the Holy Spirit, that we will be able to go. I will go when you have done your work of reformation, transformation in my life. In the precious name of Jesus, I ask it. May you bless the commitment that we have made today. May we not be soon forgetful, but may you burn that in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.